Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. If you could just take your seats, we're going to start in about 2 minutes. Everybody okay? Okay. Good morning and welcome to the second session of this morning on regional dialogue on mineral supply chains. My name is Toyin Ojo, and I am Senior Legal Counsel and Head of Partnerships at the African Legal Support Facility, also known as the ALSF. The facility is an international organization created and hosted by the African Development Bank, and we are in Abidjan, Côte d'Ivoire. The ALSF has a unique mandate to support African governments in the negotiation of sovereign-related contracts in four key development areas, being natural resources and extractives, energy, infrastructure and PPPs, and sovereign finance. In addition, we have the mandate to build legal capacity on the continent. Yes, the ALSF was primarily established to address the imbalance in the negotiation of commercial contracts and to create a level playing field at the negotiation table. We examine legislative and regulatory frameworks to ensure that they are fit for purpose and identify gaps and make recommendations. More importantly, we build capacity to ensure that African governments are empowered to negotiate and manage sustainable contracts for the benefit of its citizens. Which leads nicely into the important topic we're going to discuss this morning. This session will discuss regional initiatives to support resilience of supply chains and develop regional capabilities across mining supply chains. Speakers from two major global mining regions will discuss how existing regional frameworks or dialogues and what investment initiatives are underway to strengthen the regional mineral supply chains. Strengthening regional supply chains in the mining sector can yield economic, environmental, and social benefits. These advantages help to ensure resilience, efficiency, and sustainability of the sector. However, how easy or challenging is it to establish and maintain these supply chains? The ability to develop resilience in the supply chains is crucial to the development of countries with mineral-based economies. But like everything in life, a firm foundation is key to success. Developing regional capabilities and facilitating the development of sustainable mining strategies are imperative, just as ensuring the negotiation of fair and balanced contracts that act as a cornerstone to these supply chains and provide guardrails for governments to leverage their natural resources and ultimately for citizens' rights to benefit from the minerals of the land. This morning, we will analyse and explore the genesis, development and implementation of regional frameworks and supply chains. More specifically, we'll look at two things. First, we'll examine the potential impact and the relevance of regional cooperation, frameworks and supply chains and partnerships by asking, are we leveraging regional frameworks to strengthen mineral supply chains? Second, we'll explore the balance between regional initiatives and national plans to diversify supply chains, deepening regional dialogues to strengthen resilient supply chains while maintaining the balance for industrial development. To enable us to do this, I'm delighted to introduce my esteemed panelists. To my left is Maureen Koulas. Maureen Koulas joined the Natural Resources Canada, NRCan, in 1999, and has taken a wide variety of responsibilities in such areas as mineral resource governance, trade and investment promotion, recycling and environmental management. Maureen is currently a deputy director in the International Affairs and Trade Division of the Lands and Minerals Sector of NRCan, where she manages a team responsible for conducting policy and industry analysis and bilateral relations with the UK, the European Union, and European countries. Prior to joining the public sector, Maureen worked for several years in Toronto as a marketing manager for Noranda Inc., a global natural resources company where she managed the raw raw materials requirements of the company's 5 Canadian and South American-based copper metallurgical facilities. Maureen received her undergraduate degree in the commerce from Concordia University in Montreal. Welcome, Maureen. To my right is Thomas Gerfield. Thomas is a senior economic analyst for the Natural Resources Governance Institute, NRGI, a non-profit policy institute focused on the governance of the extractive industry. He supports NRGI's economic policy work across Africa, including on tax, revenue management, and value addition in the minerals sector. Now living in London, he spent several years in Sierra Leone and Tanzania working on these issues. I now turn to my left again to introduce Professor Harmony Musirera. Professor Harmony is the Executive Dean of the Faculty of Engineering and the Built Environment at Namibia University of Science and Technology, NUST, and is the former head of the Department of Mining and Process Engineering. He previously managed refractory high-temperature minerals, earthenware, and sanitaryware ceramic production plants for a formerly Anglo-American corporation. Professor Harmony holds a PhD in engineering from the University of Westerland and a master's degree in manufacturing systems and operations management. Professor Musirera was a project leader in developing the mineral beneficiation strategy for Namibia and was instrumental in developing the Namibian sector growth strategy for colored gemstones. He was a project team member who carried out the mineral policy framework assessment for Namibia. So, let's launch into our first set of questions. The first round of questions would discuss the relevance, as I said, of the regional cooperation frameworks and supply chain partnerships. Turning first to Professor Harmony. Namibia has known deposits of lithium, graphite, and rare earth materials, as well as cobalt, which has recently discovered in the Kiani region. Many of these projects are in varying stages of development from early exploration, pre-feasibility, and feasibility stages. At the global level, Namibia signed an MOU with the EU in 2022, notably to supply the EU with green hydrogen and rare earth minerals. And in 2023, Namibia also entered into an agreement with Japan for the joint exploration and development of rare earth minerals, aiming to supply Japan's electric vehicle batteries in the automotive sector. Meanwhile, the SADC region is developing strategies to support regional mineral value chains. Professor, how do you see the role of Namibia in the sub-region? Are there plans to integrate regional chains? And where do you see the main opportunities for Namibia?